So we are
continuing on the series of Tall Law. We're in lesson number 17, Meekness versus Discord. And, of course, this is in a way repetitive with because we go through the fruit of the Spirit a lot in RU, but it's good to have be reminded of different things. And basically we'll have this one, and then the next one will be temperance, and then we'll be getting into the third section of the book on Tall Law. And it's really focusing on the idea of going the exchange life, of exchanging a redundant life for an abundant life. So I'm looking forward to us getting into that, of just changing the way we kind of do things in our approach to Bible study and prayer and other things that can help us have a vibrant relationship with God. And so, with this lesson, we're looking at meekness versus discord. And we understand that God offers the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. And meekness is a fruit that is easy to overlook, but is greatly appreciated when it is applied. And most people do not even recognize this fruit unless they realize the thought process of the person who is yielding to it. And meekness is a fruit that is applied when someone is trying to assist a person who is actively engaged in a work of the flesh. And so that's why it is such a difficult fruit to yield to, that it's basically one where you're in a situation where someone that is acting in the flesh, it is easy to react in the flesh to what they're doing, but instead we want to yield to the fruit of the Spirit and respond appropriately. And so the translators of the English Bible, when they came to the Greek word for meekness, which is praeotes, they had a difficult time agreeing on a word that adequately conveyed its meaning. At first they considered the word weakness, but they knew that was very far from accurately capturing the meaning of the word. And it's interesting, the true meaning relates to the practice of adding saliva to get a firm grip on something. You'd think of, say, if somebody was gonna play baseball, right, and they want to make sure they had a good grip on the bat, right, they might spit on their gloves and they'd kind of get that so it would be like good and strong. So that's kind of the picture of it, right? And and that's what, before they had batting gloves, that's what baseball players would do. But the idea of it is really the idea of adding a lubricant in order to reduce friction, okay? And that's something I think all of us can understand, that you have a door on your vehicle that you open, it's like, right? Put a little bit of oil, and then the sound goes away, right? That it just kind of takes care of things. Or say, if you have sometimes in a vehicle, like you're hearing a sound, and you find out, okay, well, if I keep... Well, it's like this. Oil is a very important part of the way your engine works, right? If you ran out of oil, that would be a very bad thing, right? And so it's kind of... It's almost the thing is, you don't notice the oil until you don't have it, right? And when you don't have it, it can cause a lot of damage, right? And so it's the idea really with meekness is it's something that we need to have, but a lot of times we don't. It's as essential as oil in a vehicle for the engine to run smoothly. It's just that it's the same essential for our Christian life to run smoothly and the way we interact with other people. We want to really understand that, okay? So we want to think of it this way, that in practice, meekness means the ability for God's people to negotiate among others without causing friction. And so we would ask, well, where is that in our churches today, where Like, where do we, when we have disagreements or different things, do we respond in meekness, or do we instead have discord? And we want to really recognize that. Because when God's people respond to each other into a lost world in a spirit of meekness, it can produce a level of great respect and as well of curiosity. And the author says when he struggles with yielding to a particular fruit, he tries to find people who seem to be stronger in yielding to it. He looks for someone who exhibits that fruit with apparent ease. And as he does, he tries to learn from them how they attain the grace and faith necessary to become so successful in yielding to that particular fruit. And so in his career, before he became kind of really the overseer of the RU ministry, he was promoted to the position of general manager. And so he was the first time he had the privilege of managing others since he rededicated his life to the Lord. And he quickly found out in the management position that meekness would be an excellent fruit to master, but he didn't know how to yield to this fruit. But his employer and his mentor, whose name was Dan Arnold, and remained a teacher and counselor and even later in life, he excelled in exhibiting this fruit. And it's the idea that Dan knew the value of people. He knew that while they have weaknesses, they also have strengths that offset those weaknesses. And he realized that if his organization is to benefit from those strengths, he'll have to overlook some weaknesses. And this is especially true in the area of personality flaws. And most importantly, he recognized the importance of getting a person's co-workers to overlook those weaknesses as well. He once told me there are three things working against interpersonal relationships. And it's the person's own weakness, it's the other person's weaknesses, and Satan. And Satan always tries to get us to react to the weaknesses of others improperly. In other words, there's very little chance that people just naturally get along. And so these relationships require a spiritual man or woman to add a lubricant to help reduce the friction. So Dan realized the value of helping people get along with one another for the sake of keeping the working family together. And so his organization was very much like a family, and he was truly loyal to his people. Doesn't want to see them leave the organization, especially over personality weakness could be improved with time. He once told me the key to running a successful organization is to develop people daily. And that's something that Steve Currington tried to do every day. The goal is always to utilize people's strength, but not stop there. We also need to work diligently to help them overcome their weaknesses. But when Steve Currington started working for him, his ways were not Steve Currington's ways. When he saw a weakness in someone, he would share it with them. He would give them flack as part of the process of encouraging them to shape up. And he tended to create more controversy with his responses than their weakness created. So he caused a lot of friction, but it was with his leadership style, it was the only style he knew. And so he began watching Dan, and he saw a very different type of people development going on. Because what would happen, he would discuss something with someone who was frustrated by another staff member. He would never criticize a weaker employee to the person who was complaining. Instead, he would try to explain why that person may have behaved the way he did. He encouraged the complaining employee to be patient and overlook the mistake. Then, in a day or two, he would work with the person who had the weakness. He would not deride him or tell him how much trouble he was causing. Rather, he started by complimenting him on his areas of strength. Then Dan would give the person work assignments that were well thought out and designed to expose the employee's weakness to himself. Dan would work with them to encourage and advise them in the task. In addition, he would also point out to the weaker employee things that were strengths in the life of the person who complained. This type of leadership produces a wonderful spirit of people development in the workplace, and it took me a long time to even understand what Dan was doing. And only recently was he able to define it, much put us into practice as a system of people development. And so some people might describe Dan Arnold as a flatliner. It seems like nothing would get him too excited. He never seemed to get emotionally up or down, no matter what type of people fear he was facing. And so his life demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, as he worked to overcome the three enemies of relationships we talked about earlier. And so what's true in the workplace is true in the body of Christ as well as in our home. Okay? And so we want to... recognize what he recognized, learning meekness in your area of employment can test you more than anything else can. And so when you're dealing with different people, and it can be easy to get frustrated with them and maybe voice your frustrations, but instead learning to have the spirit of meekness instead is important. And so meekness provides necessary lubricant to help us get along with each other. And we want to understand the burden lies with us to get along with all people. No matter what failings or weaknesses they have. And because we think of that in Romans, it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay? And that we're to strive to do that, where we're not, we don't have discord and friction that's always coming up. That we learn how to get along one with another. And we read in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 3, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." That's Galatians 6, 1 to 3. And so, we have, as Christians, a mandated role to play, a biblically mandated role to play, when faced with weakness on the part of a fellow believer. And so, our purpose is not to condemn or to judge. Rather, it is to restore that fellow believer to his or her former standing in fellowship with Christ. And the tool for this task is the spirit of meekness. And so whenever we come in contact with a person's weakness, we should begin a healing and restoration process. And so it's kind of the thing, and thinking about meekness, like it's not weakness, it's basically you could think of it of having grace under fire, of being able to remain calm despite injuries and provocations. You think of Moses, of how he was described as a very meek man. And so often what happened is you had all these different people that would come and complain about his leadership. And he was not one that was just going to get upset and defend himself and return criticism to the people that criticized him. Then instead, a lot of times what happened was that they would say, "Well, you're not a good leader." And he would almost say, "Well, I agree with you. I did not want to take on this job. And I argued with God for a long time when he called me for this job. But he insisted that I do it. And so if you have a problem with him, or with me, you need to talk to him about it." And so then what would usually happen is that because he didn't get all upset, he didn't try to defend himself, he didn't kind of stir things up even more, really he let God deal with it. God always dealt with it in a way better way than he ever could have. It was the times where he did get frustrated and mad that's when he got himself into a lot of trouble. And he missed out on going in the promised land. So we want to think of that. And a lot of times we want to think of that. Like, we don't think of meekness as weakness. It's actually having strength to respond properly when we see someone else's weakness. And not being upset. And so, it's the idea that what Paul was telling us is that when our brother or sister steps forward with a fault, that we should restore that person in a way that doesn't cause friction. Okay? And it's kind of the thing that when someone falls, some would seem to want to proclaim it from the rooftops and just kind of show how bad this person was and just basically completely analyze every part of their failure and everything else. And we all fail. And it's the thing is that when we're always pointing out our failings to one another, it's guaranteed to cause friction. And so if we don't extend meekness to others when they fall, then we ourselves are in danger of being overtaken. And we want to understand what it says there, that it's like we have to restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves lest they'll also be tempted. That's the idea that if we assume that we've got it all together and we're so critical and judgmental of someone that's fallen instead of trying to help get them back on the right track, then many times we'll be put in a place where we could very easily fall too. And so it's kind of the thing that we really want to think of, that it always, we're treated in the way that we treat others so often, that it's a way of God's really judgment and justice upon us. And so if we treat people in a rough way when they've had a fall and a failure, then if we have a fall and a failure, then people are going to basically treat us in the same way. And so it's that idea that he would have justice and mercy that has shown no mercy. If we're merciful, people will be merciful to us. And so God's people should always be willing to encourage others in the way that reduces friction. And so that means we can't react by saying whatever we feel like, even with those with glaring personality flaws. That's anything but meekness. And it's something really for us to learn in a lot of different ways, like in a church family, in our own family, as parents to children, as siblings to other siblings. This is something that we want to realize. This, we need this to help reduce friction. And so a lot of times, if we're in the flesh, we're just going to say the first thing that comes out of our mouth. It's going to be some critical, and it's not going to diffuse the situation. It's going to just make it worse. And so we want to be aware of that. And of course, that's the thing, that the devil's alternative to meekness, which we often yield to, is the work of the flesh of discord. Okay? Discord. And we see Steve Kernan says, as a leader of a ministry that produces a large number of adult converts, I've seen firsthand the damage that is done by discord. It can bring great harm, especially to the life of a baby believer. Okay? That's part of the devil's plan to keep new believers from reaching God's purpose for their lives. And many times you've heard it said, the Christian army is the only one that shoots its own wounded. And he doesn't want to believe that saying, but it is often the case with cliches, there's some truth to it. Okay? Discord is one of the most damaging works of the flesh. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines discord as any disagreement which produces angry passions, contests, disputes, litigation, or war. And so discord may exist in any relationship. There have been problems in families ever since Cain and Abel, and it's no wonder that discord is a problem in church families as well. Excuse me. And so James, one of the Bible's best educators in human behavior, had a lot to say about the value of meekness and the danger of discord. And so, after giving several illustrations on what great damage the tongue can do, and including comparing it to a raging wildfire, he also gave us the cure. And he says this: whosoever, this is James 3:13-18, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so, it is the job of wise and knowledgeable teachers to teach others with meekness how to live by example. The teacher, because he has the works to back up his words, can explain to believers that being a busybody is not from God, but instead is devilish and sensual. That stimulates our senses and emotions. A church without such a leader will struggle with tongue troubles and experience confusion and evil work within the body. And so we want to remember, God never causes confusion. That's always the work of the devil. And so this passage, James describes the spirit that will permeate the church if the people invest in opportunities to make peace whenever possible. Godly leadership yields wonderful results. It's a great blessing to have a teacher in a church who can train others, someone who demonstrates the fruit of meekness. And so lessons, lessons include how to develop faith, grace, and obedience in learning to yield to the fruit of meekness. And so that would save a lot of trouble in our churches. And so Steve Currington lays out kind of the following anecdote. He says, "My home church, North Love Baptist Church in Rockville, Illinois, is a meek church, but was not always that way. God has used our pastor to foster such an atmosphere. God knew that we would need an environment where baby Christians would grow, and he has sent many of them our way." And when Reformers Unanimous began in 96, he had a student who, for the sake of privacy, he will call Joan. Joan attended the class nearly every Friday for 6 months. She almost never missed a session, but no matter how many times his wife and he invited her to church, she would firmly but kindly say no thanks. He knew she wasn't attending church anywhere else, so one week he asked why she wasn't willing to try a church. She explained that she didn't have a dress to wear and was waiting to get enough money to buy one. Of course, they told her she didn't have to wear a dress to attend her church. She said she knew that, but insisted she wanted to have something special to wear the first time she came to church. So they were impressed with her desire, and they offered to buy her a dress, but she refused, and she said, "God wants me to buy it for myself." And so he was out of ammunition, so he just waited. And sure enough, about 6 weeks later, Joan told him that she'd save enough money for a dress and would be at church the next Sunday. And so his wife and he were overjoyed. And so that Sunday, they were eager to meet her. When we got up to the top of the stairs, we saw Joan there hanging up her coat. And when he saw her, his heart sank because she'd purchased a very short miniskirt. He sympathetically thought, "Well, she doesn't know any better." We told her that we were glad to see her, welcome to her church. She sat with us in our usual place near the front of the church. Everyone was kind to Joan as we introduced her to her friends, and no one stared or glared at her for the skirt she had chosen. But by the time the choir walked in, Joan had begun to realize that her choice of dress wasn't like the other ladies there. She tugged on the hem of her skirt, trying to bring it closer to her knees. She was uncomfortable, but she was learning and observing. The most important thing is that her heart was in the right place. But after the service, things went downhill fast. As he was talking to someone else, Joan was approached by one of the older ladies of the church. And this woman proceeded to inform Joan that her clothing was inappropriate. She complained her husband could not keep her eyes off her nakedness during the service, and so she chided Joan for her indecency and rebellion in the house of God. And so Joan fled the church building in tears. She's never been back to either church or class since. And he says several situations like this have happened in the early days of the RU ministry. And he recognized it was a necessary period of growth in our church's history. It was a challenging time. And these lessons we learned in the church reinforce lessons he learned from Dan Arnold about the vital importance of the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. And so just as kind of a few other thoughts with that, of course, it's kind of the thing, one, when someone's a new baby Christian, they don't know any better on different things. And so it's not something to belittle someone in any way like that. But as well, we do recognize that if this lady's husband could not keep his eyes off her nakedness during the service, that was much more a problem with him than it was with her. And that's kind of the thing, is that we want to understand that, especially as men, that it's like we have to do right, we can't justify wrong behavior, and in any way we need to stop that practice of doing so. And so, to be effective in work and ministry, Steve Kearney had to learn to submit to the Holy Spirit's direction, work to reduce friction between people. When he told Pastor Kingsbury about Jones' experience, he was heartbroken. He immediately began preaching and teaching on the importance of meekness. Drawing from Scripture and the lessons he had learned about taming the tongue, he showed our congregation how to yield to meekness. And within a short time, the very spirit and atmosphere of North Love Baptist Church changed. It became fertile soil for baby Christians to grow. So there they could reach levels of maturity beyond what people might, what might be possible in most churches. And the reason why is because a wise man, their pastor, uses knowledge to show others how it ought to be done. And so that's the thing, is that if we're going to destroy discord, we must learn to restrain our tongues. We must yield to the Spirit's leading to reduce friction between others. And finally, we must take what we have learned and teach it to others. As Dan Arnold taught me, we want to work to develop people daily. And so it's kind of the thing that there are some, unfortunately, that sow discord in amongst God's people. And they sometimes do it intentionally, which is unfortunate. And such individuals, at certain points, probably it's necessary for them to leave because of the problem that they're causing. But I think a lot of us want to realize that we can sow discord unintentionally, where we see something that's going on and we feel we have to comment on it. It's sort of the thing we want to realize. Everything in the church is to be done for edification, for building people up. And when there's discord, it talks about where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And so we want to learn to not have that. We want to have meekness. And so it's kind of the thing. Sometimes when somebody says something or does something that we need to learn maybe just to not say anything to start with, and sometimes just think through what we're going to say, and have the thought, okay, wanting to be encouraging. Because especially it's kind of the thing when we get working with people that have never been to church in their life before and don't really know anything about the Bible, they're going to do things that don't, that we want to look at it in some ways like this, that it's sort of, okay, what they're doing is still wrong, but in a way they're actually making progress because it's not as wrong as what they used to do, kind of thing, right? And they're not going to get it all at once, and so we want to help them. And especially when it comes to somebody that falters, because this can be someone, especially someone that's new in the faith, that just doesn't know much about the Christian life, they can falter. But more and more we want to realize that there can be people that go to church their whole lives, grow up in church, and someone's not maybe quite right with their relationship with God, and they end up faltering. And we want to help them. We want to bring them back to a right relationship. And so we want to have that spirit of meekness so they can do that. We want people to feel comfortable, like we don't want them to feel comfortable with failure, but we want them to know that they're not going to be rejected because of their failure, but instead that we'll essentially be like a hospital to help patch them up, get them going again. Okay, it's and so it's learning that, and so it's meekness for the operation of a church family or even just our own families, that it is essential for things operating smoothly as oil would be essential for an engine to run smoothly. And so we want to think of that as discord is what happens when we run out of oil and everything starts screeching and groaning and bad things happen. And so we want to avoid that. All right, so study questions. So meekness is a fruit that's easy to overlook, but is greatly appreciated when it is applied. Why is the fruit of meekness such a difficult fruit to yield to? Yeah, a lot of times, because we think we got to say something, and we get frustrated with other people when we see their weaknesses in different things. Okay? And so how did this lesson define meekness? Yeah, living in such a way as to reduce friction between others. Yeah. So, does anybody have any other things they want to add to that of what meekness means to you?
Focusing on people's strengths and encouraging them to help them.
Yeah. Yeah, valuing them for their strengths and not focusing on their weaknesses. Like, you do want to help them through their weaknesses, but it isn't. Yeah, like it's kind of, you're trying to edify, you're trying to develop people daily, right? That you see their weaknesses, but you're not discarding the person because of that weakness. You're saying, okay, this is an area that they need work on, that I can find ways to encourage them in. I don't have to constantly point out and pick on that weakness of theirs, or always say, if someone's fallen, to always bring it up again. Well, remember what you did back then, and just kind of hang that over their head for the rest of their life. It's sort of where you want to move on and want to get them going forward again. All right, and then number three, the opposite of meekness is discord. Please give the definition of discord. Yeah, causing friction between, I think for you kids it was using fiction to cause friction, right? And sometimes where it's, we make statements where we take things a lot farther than they should. Like someone makes a mistake and we basically speak to them in such a way that the mistake they made defines them. And if all of us were defined forever by the mistakes we made, where would we be, right? We'd just be like complete failures, right? But God is willing to look past our mistakes, help redeem our lives, and make something new out of them when we just kind of totally messed them up. And so we want to have that meekness. So why do you think discord is one of the most damaging works of the flesh? Yeah, well, it's kind of the thing is it's like where they like we could think of it in both in a family and in a church family, right? That where you're looking in those relationships to be supportive, to be building you up, to encouraging you, and instead if you're in those relationships and you're just being torn down, belittled, and mocked, then it gets to a point where you say, why am I staying here? Right? And you can have people where they grow up and they don't ever really go home again because they're just tired of all the harping and everything else. They'd rather just be away from it rather than just have to be experiencing that all the time. And so we want to learn that we want to have that right mindset. And so we just really, as we're yielding to the spirit of meekness, it's a lot of times just, I would say, thinking before we speak and just kind of asking ourselves, okay, is this actually going to help someone? Or is this going to kind of help calm the situation down? Or is this just going to get everybody fired up? And so it's kind of like what Thumper's mom told him. If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all, right? And we need to learn that. Like, there are things we need to say sometimes, but they need to be encouraging words, okay? But it's better to say nothing than to say something that's going to damage someone. All right, so any thoughts or questions before we conclude? No? All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Father, we just thank you for this time, And we just pray you help us to yield to this fruit of meekness. Help us to see how important it is, and help us to value it and to recognize discord and try to keep it out as much as we can. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on us this evening and throughout the week to come. Just pray and keep us safe as we head home. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.